I hope you've been enjoying this series called Choose Wisely through the book of Proverbs. And if you're being honest, like me, you're probably thinking, a five-week series on Proverbs, I'm kind of tired of the Proverbs. Maybe I'm the only one, but the messages have just been so incredible. But for the last five Sundays, this is why Pastor Daniel's not preaching the sermon series, because it's this long, and he gets tired of preaching the same thing for 5 weeks. But, you know, it's been an powerful book study through the Proverbs, and the sermons on Sundays have been amazing. I mean, everything from Pastor Josh, man, how to guard your heart, you know, Bethany having that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. TJ, Built Different. I mean, that was a preacher sermon right there. He had the little boxes on the bricks and drops the weight and everything falls because Jesus is on. I mean, that's the kind of message that I wish I could preach. It was a good one, you know, and Pastor Stu, I mean, literally the best title, sermon title in the series, I Pity the Fool. Man, what a good title. And so as I was thinking about, here I am, you know, bringing up the rear, you know, where do I go from here? You know, what do I teach on? What angle has not already been exhausted? And as I asked that question, where do I go from here, I started to think there might be a question that many of us ask ourselves as well in our lives. Where do we go from here? You know, the summer is an amazing transition type of season in your life where, you know, you're coming out of something, stepping into something new. You know, you're getting some rest for what's ahead, you know, and maybe some of you have asked that question, like, where do we go from here? Do we go to the beach or to the mountains? You know, do we get a little, do we go away? Do we do a little staycation? Do we tell everybody we're out of town but stay home and no one knows that we're there? That's what I like to do, right? A little misdirection. Or maybe you're asking the question, you know, I just graduated from high school, you know, or I just graduated from college. Where do I go from here? You know, what's my next step? Or maybe you've developed some tenure in your career and you feel like there's something new in the horizon for you. Where do I go from here? You know, you're thinking about relocating or starting a family or purchasing a house, and you're asking the question, where do I go from here? There's so many questions that are gonna be on your mind from moment to moment, season to season. And while I don't have a scripture and a verse to tell you where you go from here, I do believe the important question that we should ask ourselves in the middle of our next steps, it's not just where I go from here, but how do I go from here? You can even better say it like, what's the way in which I go? What's the method in which I go from here? And I believe that's just as important to the where is the how. No matter what I do, how will I do it? How will I carry myself? A couple of things that maybe run through your mind is, you know, how do you go about the decisions that you make? How do you, the kind of person that you become when you take steps forward? You know, maybe you're the kind of person that makes decisions out of convenience or ease. It's like the road less traveled by, the path of least resistance. What's the easiest way for me to get from point A to point B? Maybe that's the way that you do things. Or maybe it's pressure for you. Maybe a social pressure. Maybe you've got a next step about your career, and you know your mom tells you, "Mama was a nurse. Your big sister was a nurse, so you're going to be a nurse. This is what we're doing." Or maybe you've got some tribalism going on. Like you've got a bunch of friends that are a certain way when they go through a certain season of things, and that's just the way that we do things. When I'm as a part of this group. Maybe it's pressure, but I would challenge you to think that no matter what it is you're doing, how you do it, the way that you do it is just as important, because the way you do something creates a narrative about who you are. The method of decision making, the person I'm becoming, the path that I take, not just where I go, but who I am on that path, creates a narrative of who I am. Let's say your number one goal in life is to be successful, right? Anybody want to be successful here? No, it's only five people who want to be successful. What's going on? I imagine the answer is yes. If your number one goal is to be successful, the way you do that is important. They say if you want to go far, go together. If you want to go fast, go by yourself, right? You know, the way that you go about your success is extremely important because it creates this narrative about who you are. Are you the kind of person that will build team and pull people close? Or are you the kind of person that will step over someone to get to where you want to be? The way you do things are important. Maybe you want to build wealth. You know, there's a healthy way to do that with honesty and with integrity. And there's also an unhealthy way to do that. We call that dirty money. So there's a way to do things that are just as important as what it is you're doing. Maybe you want to be in a relationship. You know, maybe you just really want to date somebody, and it's like, you know, the way you date somebody is important. Yep. Yep. And ladies, let me tell you, the way he asks you out, the way he carries himself, yep, is not just important to the dating relationship, but it's indicative of what is to come. That's right. That's right. Listen, past performance gives an indication of some future performance. And so if you're feeling like this is like strange in this season, when he begins to settle down and you're locked in, some of those behaviors, some of those things that seem suspect to you now can become problematic in your future. So the way you do things are important. What about parenting your children? The way you do things are important. Sometimes it's not just important to be there, just to be physically present, but to be emotionally, mentally accessible. One of the greatest lessons I ever learned about being a dad is talk to your kids about the things that don't matter. So one day, they'll be comfortable to talk to you about the things that do. So right now, like all my kids want to talk about is Fortnite, Xbox, and Batman, and, you know, potty jokes, stuff like that. But guess what? I'm building this relationship, this trust, this dad is a safe place, dad listens to the things in my adolescent mind that are so important, he listens. But when I get older, my problems get bigger and more complex, I know that there's a person who does listen. So that the way you do things is important. So I want to just propose to you that there is a way to do things and there's not a way to do things. And when it comes to walking with Jesus, this might seem like the cookies are on the bottom shelf, but the better way is God's way. It seems like the most elementary thing to say, but I don't find it weird that the Bible has to remind us over and over again that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but that way leads to death. See, God has a better way. God's method is better. God's way is better. His word says that the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, as if God could even be foolish. But God's ways are higher and are better than our ways. And so I want to encourage us that if we're going to be looking at how to walk out this life, how we move forward and whatever it looks like in our life, but at the core of it, we're walking with Jesus. If we're going to move forward, we got to walk forward in God's ways, by his methods. Jesus tells us that he is the way, the truth, the life. He doesn't say I'm a way or a preferred way or a way that would, you know, not give so many negative, you know, side effects. He says I am the way. That if you want to get to the Father, if you want to get to God, there is one way. There's one door. There's one path. That path is through Jesus. And listen, it's not through spirituality. Listen, it's not through good works. It's not through being a good person. It's not through volunteering at the soup kitchen on the Sunday. It is through Jesus. Listen, it's not through the crystals. I need some prayer that really works. It's not through making myself a better person. It's through Jesus. He is the way. There's one way to God, and it's through Jesus. And so God has a way that is best for us. And I want to challenge us today that we would move forward in this life through God's methods. So if you got that Bible open on Proverbs 16, let's go to the Bible and see what the Lord has for us as we extract some truth from Proverbs 16. Let's start at verse 1. The Bible says this: the plans of the heart belong to a person, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a person are clean in his own sight, but the Lord examines the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The first way that I'm moving forward is in God's order. In God's order. It's become more clear to me as I get older, as I continue to study the Word of God, as I walk with Jesus, that his, that there's an order to the things of God. That there's an order to the blessing of God. There's an order to the provision of God. There's an order to the things of God. As vast as God is, as so difficult to fully grasp and understand the nature of who God is, he has not made his order or his way or even his nature complicated to understand. We may not be able to wrap our entire minds around who God is on this side of eternity or even on the other side of eternity, but on this side of eternity, he has given us a roadmap, a pathway on how to get to him. He's made his order and his ways plain for us. And the way that we get to know who God is, his mind, his order, is through his word. We get to know God's order through God's word. And listen, I've got to encourage you. If the only time you're getting the word of God is when you come into this place on a weekend, that is just the beginning of getting to know the word of God intimately. If the word is the bread of life that feeds us and you only eat once a week, you're doing a little bit more than intermittent fasting, okay? It's called a starvation diet, and it's not healthy for you. And so just like it is for you physically not healthy to starve yourself, spiritually it is far, there's greater implications of starving yourself spiritually. So the best way to get to know God's order is to get to know God's word. See, God has a very simple way that he does things. Many of us get it complicated as if we've got to go through these hoops and steps to be able to experience the blessing and provision of God, but God has made it very, very simple. It's what a lot of theologians will call the if-then statements or the if-then promises of God. It's if you confess your mouth with your mouth to that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. It's this, if you do this, it's the condition, and then I will do this. It's the promise. God has so many of these. I mean, John 15, verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, this is Jesus speaking, then you will abide in my love. God has a very simple pathway to experiencing his presence and his blessing, and it's through his order. If you do this, then I will do this. He says in Proverbs 2, my son, if, the condition, you receive my words, and if, one more condition, you treasure my heart and with understanding. Yes, if, one more condition, you cry out for discernment, and if you lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her like silver, if you search her for hidden treasures, then here's the result. You will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. God is not a confusing God to understand his order. But we must follow the order to experience and walk in the way of God. We walk in his order. There's a conditional promise also seen right here in Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. It may not say if and then, but that is 100% a condition. If you commit your works to the Lord, the Bible could absolutely say, then your plans will be established. God has a desire. Listen, God has a desire to establish your plans. A lot of us get it mistaken to think that God is this blocking, interrupting, in the way, like curmudgeon, upset grandpa that sits on his rocking chair in heaven and is frustrated with everything we do. No, listen, God wants to establish your plans. But that comes only if your work is committed to him. Listen, isn't it interesting that God says, if you commit your work, I will establish your plans? Don't plans come before work? It's like if God's saying, if you just commit what you do to me, the things, the dreams, the ideas, the hopes that are in your mind, that are in your heart, I will bring those things into fruition so that more than what you do, the things that you dream about will come to life. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that we can walk in his way if we're walking in his order. But he has conditions. Listen, God has conditions. But somehow we think God will reverse his order at any given moment. Listen, I don't know about you, but I remember the moment when I prayed those little prayers of driving down the road and I see a cop pull out from the little median. I'm like, God, if you get me out of this ticket, I'll serve you forever. It's like God's gonna reverse his order for me. It's like, God, if I can just make it on time to work this time, God, if I can just do, we have these prayers that we pray that we expect God to reverse his order. I mean, take it even a little bit deeper. It's like, I haven't committed my work to the Lord, but I expect, God, will you bless my finances? Will you bless my home? It's like God has an expectation that you will follow his conditions to experience all of his blessing. The question that begs to be asked is, who do we think God is? Many of us think that God is this type of genie that if you give him some type of rub, out jumps Will Smith, that we're gonna get the Aladdin version and not the Oscar version of Will Smith. That's the thing that we think about God sometimes, is that we're gonna get the good one that we like, that dances and all kind of stuff, and not the one that smacks us across the face. Who do we think God is? I mean, you've got conditions. I mean, I've got conditions for my, I love my children. I've got three amazing young men that I'm raising in my house. I love them to death, I give them anything. But listen, it is my requirement to keep the lights on, give them three square meals. They got a pillow to put their head on at night. You know, they got a couple of t-shirts to put on their back, right? That's my requirements. But if they don't wanna keep the grades up, if they don't wanna honor their mother, if they don't wanna represent themselves with class and integrity, then that Xbox ain't gotta stick around. All them TVs ain't gotta stick around. Them trips you wanna go on ain't gotta stick around. All these other things, these blessings that come with being a son of Birch, do not have to be added unto you if you can't follow the small, simple conditions that I have. I've got conditions and I'm a sinful man. God, we get a mistake sometimes because how good God is, how loving he is, that he's also not, we forget that he's King of Kings. He is a loving father. Hear me in this. He loves you so much. He sees you and you bring joy to his heart when you're walking in his purpose and in his promises. He loves you. But God has conditions. And there are certain things, there are certain keys that unlock the things of God that you have no access to unless you use your key. And so as we move forward, we've got to follow the order. Follow the order. Listen, when we follow the order, we submit to the reverence of God. And when we submit and when we approach God with honor and with reverence, we unlock his power. Listen, when we follow the order, we submit not just out of duty, not just out of the pressure of a holy God weighing down on us. We submit out of love and conviction in our hearts. And we also submit out of wisdom. It's better to follow God's way. Amen? It's better to follow God's way. So say this, I will move forward in God's order. Come on, one more time. I will move forward in God's order. Amen, amen. The second way that I'm gonna move forward is with godly humility. I'm gonna move forward with godly humility. Proverbs 16, verse 18 through 19 says this, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding to be chosen above silver. The highway of the upright is to turn away from evil. One who watches his way protects his life. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Ooh, haughty. Who uses that word these days? It is better to be humble in spirit with the needy than to divide the spoils with the proud. If we're gonna move forward in the ways of God, we move forward with humility. And here's the beautiful thing about humility. Humility attracts the favor of God. God loves humility. Listen, the Bible tells us in many, many places that God, he opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Right here we see that that the pride goes before the destruction. There's something about humility that God loves. There's this walk about it that God just loves the walk of the humble. Numbers 2, the Bible says that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. I thought that was interesting because Moses wrote Numbers, and then I guess he said he was the most humble person, and so that's kind of like a humble brag, but we'll let it pass, right? There's like a walk about a humble person that God just loves. You know, I'm from Miami. I grew up in Miami, and in Miami, there's like a little walk that you have, you know what I'm saying? Walk with a little limp. And it's not really the walk of the humble. It's really the walk of that guy. You know what I'm saying? And growing up, I always wanted to be that guy. Because, you know, you put a little extra, little limp inside of it in a 305, you know what I'm saying, 305. And this is how these guys would walk. And this is like, you kind of talk that talk, you walk that walk. That's an easy way to spot a prideful person as the one who talks a little too much. You know what I'm saying? And so I'd look at the big homies in the neighborhood, and like they would walk with a little limp, and that's how I wanted to walk. I wanted to be that guy. I wanted to be that guy that knew everything. I had everything all together. I knew what I was doing. I knew where I was going. And I remember this one year, I'm like 18, so I know everything, right? And I'm moving out of my parents' house. I got this truck, and you know, this time of year, hurricanes are always coming through Miami, and my dad's like, yo, listen, if you're gonna go out, make sure you either stay where you are or come home before the hurricane starts. I'm like, I got this, Dad. I got a truck. I can drive through this truck. I can drive through the storm with my truck. You know what I'm saying? And so I had this like thing about me. I was like, I know everything. It's like, you're just like a dad. What do you know? I lived long enough to have kids of my own who think the same thing about me, by the way, y'all. But there was like this thing that I wanted to walk with that just like felt like I knew everything. It was pride. And so this one day, I'm hanging out with a friend. We do this thing every time a hurricane comes. It's called hurricane poker. So it's like right before the hurricane starts, you like huddle up, and we would deep fry Twinkies and like make like chicken wings, and then we would play poker until the power went out, and then we'd all go home, right? And so I'm doing all that. We're doing the whole thing. We're playing games. We're like, blah, blah, blah. And so power goes out. I'm like, it's time to go. In the back of my mind, I hear my dad saying, if the storm starts, stay where you are or come before it starts. And I'm thinking, I'm good. I'm going to drive home. So I get home in my little truck, and I drive like 30 minutes, no issues. And literally I'm here saying to myself, what did my dad know? Look how safe I am. Look how good of a driver I am. I've been doing this thing for like a year. I'm amazing. And so I finally get into our neighborhood, and the thing about our neighborhood is that right at the beginning of where my parents used to live, there was this really bad flooding area that if you just rains for like 30 minutes, that area is gonna flood pretty bad. And in South Florida, everything's on sea level, so nothing really drains. And so I get up to the guard gate because they live in a gated community, and I'm like scanning to come in, and the guard's like, hey, bro, it's flooded over there. You shouldn't drive. And I'm like, man, you sound like my dad. I got this. I'm in a truck. And not just any truck, y'all. I'm in a Chevy. You know what I'm saying? Y'all want to know what kind of Chevy I was driving? S10. It's like the smallest truck Chevy makes. And so here I am getting ready to drive through. The gate arm goes through, and I'm like, oh, this truck is plenty tall. This is big. I was tall enough to get through this. And I get through, and I get to the car. I see the water bubbling. I see it start to get over the hood, and I see it start getting all up inside the car seats and the interior. And then the car just basically floats towards the curb. And so I have to get on my cell phone and call my dad. And I call my dad, and I say, Dad, I'm stuck. And I tell him where I am. I'm like, I'm not that far, actually. I'm right in front of your neighborhood. And so here comes my dad. It has to be like midnight. He's got on his raincoat, his hat. My dad was in law enforcement. He's got all this like stuff with badges on it. And here's so basically this cop coming after me. And he's got his big old rain boots up to his knees, and he's like walking through the water like this. And he essentially just ties my truck to the back of his Jeep and pulls me out of the water and drags me home. And I'm telling you, it was the quietest drive home of all time. All I remember is the very next morning, right around 5 a.m., there was a on my door. And my dad was like, "You want to flood the car? You're gonna dry it out." And so that morning, my dad walked me outside. The sun hadn't got out. And I learned a really valuable lesson, how to like drain water out of an engine and dry out a car liner and interior. And at that moment, I was humbled. I was very humbled. And I can't say that my dad took pleasure in humbling me in that moment, although there was kind of a couple of smiles on his face. But in that moment, it was his responsibility to humble me. You know, it's God's responsibility to humble us if we're proud. Think about Job. Job goes through the greatest tragedy of his life. And there's a difference between asking questions and a questioning spirit. And what theologians say is Job does next is that he puts God on trial. Not just asking why this took place to me, but actually questioning the nature of God. And so God lets him speak, lets him have his way, drive your S10 through the flood, and then God responds at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then he starts to air out everything of Job. Where were you when the foundation of the world was laid? Where were you? Can you speak and the sun hide? And do you know the place where the moon rests? It's his responsibility in that moment to humble Job. I mean, it happened to King Nebuchadnezzar as well in Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar begins to speak out against God, and right there in chapter 4, he says, "Nebuchadnezzar, O king, to you it is declared the kingdom is departed from thee." The moment pride begins to rise up inside of us, it is the responsibility of God to humble us. And so the question for us today is, wouldn't it be better if we just humbled ourselves instead of allowing for God to have to humble us? It is better. It's better when we're walking with humility, because that is the person, that is the place where God wants to rest his favor, are on the humble. The Bible says that God rejects the proud, but he gives grace. Do you want the grace of God in your life? Do you want the favor of God to rest in your life? Walk in humility, amen? And so I say this, I will move forward with godly humility. Come on, one more time. I will move forward with godly humility. Amen. The third thought, we're finding this in Proverbs 16, verses 7 through 9. Let's go to the Bible first. The Bible says this, "When a person's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he causes even his enemies to make peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice." The mind of a person plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The third thought is, I will move forward by God's will. By God's will. The Bible says this, when a person's ways are pleasing to the Lord. This speaks to the fact that God indeed has a preference. That it's not just I can do the work of God in any way that I choose. There is a way to be within the will of God or not be in the will of God as I'm even doing the work of God. I mean, we see this where Jesus says to those who would call upon him, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not serve in your name?" And he says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." That means you could be doing the work of God but be outside of the will of God. So God has a preference, and it's important to know the preferences of God. See, again, it's not impossible to understand God, but you just got to know what pleases him. I'll tell you what doesn't please him. The Bible says this in Proverbs 6. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes. Man, who doesn't love that word, haughty? Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Man, things that God hates, those who hurt, people who hurt, things that cause division, things that take away unity, pride, those are things that don't please God. And the things that please God are humility, are kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, it's honor, Those things please God. He says this about the thing, when the ways are pleasing in his eyes. He says he causes even his enemies to make peace with him. Isn't that amazing? That when you're walking in a way that pleases God, even the people that are most against you, most wanted to attack and defame you, even those people will seek reconciliation with you. How cool is that? That the way, the following God is not just better for you, but it's better for others. That there's this way of following the Lord, you can bring peace to people around you. It says, better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. Listen, not everything that makes dollars makes sense. The mind of a person plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Listen, am I walking in the will of God? Is there a contradiction between my mind's plans and the way the Lord is directing? Do I have an eagerness for the direction of God? Here's an easy recipe for knowing that I'm walking in the will of God. That maybe not specifically, but in general, my steps, they agree with the word of God. That two, it draws me closer to Jesus. Three, it's my spiritual authority will affirm what I do. That trustworthy spiritual authority will affirm what I do. And the fourth thing, it brings me peace. That's a great way to know if I'm walking in the will of God. So come on, say this. I will move forward by God's will. The clock is against me today. So I'm running a little bit out of time, but the fourth thought is, I'm gonna move forward with godly intentions. Is that I don't have this, I recognize that there's wisdom in not just what I say, but how I say it. It's the desire of my heart behind what I'm saying to people. And so walking forward with godly intentions, that was the first thought. And I would just encourage you to recognize that the words that we speak can soothe and they can burn. So the intentions of our heart are so key here. Amen. Amen. Listen, are you thankful for the word of God today? Amen. Hey, with every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment, why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Hey, maybe you're here today and you're saying to yourself, man, I want to move forward in God's order, with humility. I want to move forward in his will. I want to move forward with intentions, but I think I need to move forward with God first. Maybe that's you here today. The first step, the first way that you move forward, where you go from here, is placing your faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus lived a perfect life. He was the one and only perfect Son of God. Lived a perfect life here on this earth, died on the cross for our sins, but didn't just stay dead, rose 3 days later, proving that he was who he said he was. Now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And in him, in his name, is salvation. He is the way to the Father. And so I want to invite you that if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that today would be your day. Today would be the day of salvation, that you would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. If that's you today, with nobody looking around but me and your campus pastor, I want to invite you just a second, slip up your hand so I know who I'm praying with. Listen, the prayer is not going to save you. It's your heart communicating to the heart of God and inviting him into your life. So if that's you today, for the first time, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. On the count of three, I want you to slip your hand up. One, two, three. Amen. 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 You can put your hands down. Come on, church, why don't we pray together? Nobody in this church prays alone, but why don't we pray together on behalf of those who pray this for the first time? Say, Jesus, I need you. I realize that I'm a sinner, but I know that you are the Savior. Come into my life, be my Savior, and with your help, I'll live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for everybody that made that decision today. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.